What's that?
Huh?
What's that?
He's a, he'd rather play than eat.
I can't eat fish.
It's tacos.
They had catfish in the
and change of plan.
Well,
it
was
good.
That's why I didn't eat. I ate at home.
Hello, hello, hello. How we doing? How we feeling? I don't blame you.
May be seated. Okay, let's close our eyes. Bow your heads. Prepare your hearts and your minds for worship. Remember that we're here to see Jesus lifted high so that we can take it out into the world and lift Him up to the world. Amen. Okay. First off, before I do this, anybody notice we have a new drummer tonight? Yeah. Cameron's given Nolan a little rest, a much needed rest tonight. So if there's anybody else that sings or plays instruments, Savetta and the praise team would love for you to join them. If you've got a band that you can put together and bring and give them a break every now and then, that would be awesome. So think about that. Guys, this is another way to reach out to your friends that are youth that play music. Invite them to come here and play and get them involved in the Wednesday night program. Okay, do we have any prayer requests? Dylan. Okay. Your mission field. Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. Deb. He's back there, Andrew. Okay, Jess. Okay. Anybody else? Nikki. Your brother and... Okay. Hannah? Do you know what her name is? Okay. Travis? No one? I'm going deaf. What did you say?
Just to pray for teachers.
Okay.
They're so overwhelmed, crying. So you folks maybe don't know that the teachers have so much job. so much worse. They're even crying.
Heather? Okay.
I've got a praise. I'll stand up. I can't see everybody out there, but this was such a huge answer to prayer. My husband's dad, just a brief little history, he left my husband's family when my husband was only about 12 years old, and we had very little contact with his kids, and thankfully, since my husband and I have been married, we've been able to kind of get back together with them and have a relationship there that they didn't have when my husband was growing up. But we have been praying for years that his dad would come to know the Lord. And we received an email from my husband's stepmom today that he was baptized Sunday night, that he prayed, and he said that he had been saved as a child and had never lived it out. Now he has rededicated his life to the Lord. She said it is a huge change. She said he is one happy man. And so I just, whenever I heard that, my husband and I were both on the phone, like crying. We were so excited. So I just wanted to share that. It's a huge praise and a big answer to prayer for our family.
Thank you. I have two friends that lost their dad this week. Mr. Church, he's from this area. Y'all may know him. His daughter. I know him through her, but the Church family and also the Haddad family. Linda Haddad lost her dad suddenly also this week, so if you keep them in your prayers. Also, the there's three. The Vaughn family. Kim Vaughn lost her dad this week. So, Dylan? Okay. Matt? Okay. Nikki? Has what? Oh, okay. Jake? Alexandra Anderson? Anderson. Wait a minute, just a second. Jennifer? Kezia. Okay. Anyone else? This bow head, I'm going to read the names on the prayer list. Deb Hatfield's co-worker, Shannon's friend, Casey Duncan, Mr. Calhoun, Nikki's brother and Chris, Hannah Wilker's friend's friend, Travis Trammell's dad, Tommy, Melanie, and all the teachers, the Church family, the Haddad family, the Vaughn family, Justin Puckett, Skylar Treese, Jennifer Treese, Alexandria Anderson, Kezia's bus driver. As we lift them up, Lord, for your will to be done in their life, we also give you praise for Jimena's father-in-law coming to know you. We give you praise that there were 60 people at Laverne High who showed up to show their faith. Lord, there's so much going on in our world today. It's overwhelming sometimes. Death, illness, wars, rumor of wars, shortages of what we consider needs. Lord, we know that you see all, know all, and are in ultimate control. We thank you for that, Lord. Our faith in you gives us peace in knowing that in good times or in bad times, you are with us, and we will be with you someday. Lord, all of these people on the prayer list we lift up to you. We pray for healing for those who are sick, for right decision making. We pray for those who are hurting emotionally. Lord, for people everywhere, those who need shelter, who are homeless, we pray shelter for them. And we pray love for those who feel unloved. Food for those who are hungry. Lord, we lift up to you also the leaders in our community, in our state, in our country, on every level. We lift up the leaders of the countries around the world. We pray, Lord, that you would move in their life and that your will would be done. Be with us, Lord, tonight. As we worship you, let our hearts sing with the joy of knowing you and knowing that you're in control. It's in your name we pray these things, Lord. Amen. Okay, if you can stand, youth, you can stand. Stand. Adults, it's up to you. You can sit, stand, whatever you want to do. And let's sing.
I'm gonna be looking for you.
Debbie Hatfield is bringing our message to us tonight. Welcome, Debbie.
for you.
Okay, that was just a little warm-up skit thing. So can anybody tell me what that was about? Does anybody want to talk? Nikki, you always talk. Come on. What was that about? Very good. It's about being a servant. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, about being a servant. Giving of yourself even when you don't want to. Or even when you think that it's someone that's outside of your clique, outside of your comfort zone. Because sometimes it's really easy to help people that are inside our comfort zone. But when you get out of your comfort zone, you don't really know that person, or maybe they're different. Or maybe, you know, they're just not who you would want to serve. You just kind of ignore it or pretend that they don't need anything. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, being a servant. And I have 4 points to my sermon, so if y'all can bear with me for all 4 points. But the start of them, each one of them has, there's a word. And the first initial of each word is going to make up a word at the end that will help you remember the 4 points of the sermon. Because I might test you on it later. Okay? Okay. First of all, we're going to talk about Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36, if anybody wants to turn in there and read along. Okay? My first point in being a servant is to be selfless, okay? Completely selfless. That means giving of yourself without thinking about yourself, okay? Chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. I'm going to read through those really quick. Okay? It says, let me find my place here. Oh, I'm in Matthew. Hang on, that's my next one. I was like, that's not the right one. Okay, now I'm in Luke. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him for taking your cloak. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that of you or to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful and just as your Father is merciful. That's a hard scripture. Because you know what? When someone's mean to me, I want to get back. And I want to be mean right back at them. I sure don't want to do something nice for them. I do not want to help people that are not nice to me. Because that's what I've been taught. That's the way I feel like we should be. Because that's not what Jesus did. Jesus gave of himself to everybody. Okay? And one of the things, my first point, did I already say it? Selfless. My mind's going here. I said selfless. That's our first point. Okay? If you're so focused on yourself you can't think about other people. If you wake up in the morning and go, oh, woe is me. My hair is not right today. Nobody's going to like me. My hair's not right. I can't walk out today because, or anything. It could be anything that you are so, if you're so focused on yourself and you think that things are just so bad for yourself, you can't focus on other people and you can't serve anybody else because you're so focused on yourself and what your own needs are. If you try forcing yourself when you get up and say, you know, I'm not going to think about myself. I'm going to find someone that I can serve today, that I can do something. Y'all, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be walking up to someone that's crying and saying, do you need a hug? Or is there something I can do for you? Do you want to talk about it? It could be smiling at someone across the room, someone that maybe is having a bad day, and just that smile makes them realize that you've noticed them and that maybe they needed something. And it could really, and what you'll find in your own life is that you will feel more, you'll feel better about yourself. You'll feel like you've really given of yourself to people. Is that someone's phone? Okay. It could be, do you ever stand in a group of people and someone's telling this really exciting story and you can't wait to top their story? You've got to tell your story because yours is bigger or better than theirs. Maybe let them have the big story. Let them have their big, exciting story. Be happy for them and don't try to top it. Don't try to make it better. Sometimes that's all people need because you never know what somebody else is going through. You never, ever know. People are hurting all over. And the ones that you think are the most self-confident, the ones that you think really have it together, sometimes those are the ones that hurt the worst. They're the ones that need to know that there is someone out there that cares for them. Okay? So be selfless. Okay, so we've got an S. Okay? And then you're going to feel like you've accomplished something. You know, instead of feeling like a failure all day, instead of feeling like you've really failed at, you know, being who you want to be, you'll feel good about yourself because you're giving of yourself to someone else. You're putting yourself aside just like Jesus did every day. Jesus got out there and he put himself aside and he thought of the people that had needs. And he went to those needs. And he helped those people. And he gave them the hope that they needed. Because a lot of them didn't have hope. They didn't know there was any hope. But you guys know that there is hope. And you guys need to let other people know about that hope. Okay? Point number two. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 42. Okay? Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? I don't think so. I think they'd both be running into stuff, wouldn't they? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, it's really easy for us to judge others, isn't it? That's a really easy thing to do. So my second point is impartial. Be impartial with your servanthood when you serve other people. Don't serve the people that you want to serve. Serve everybody. Don't serve just the ones. Don't serve the people that you think have the right look or have the right, you know, appearance, or the ones that you think don't need it, because those might be the ones that actually really need it. Be a servant the way Jesus was a servant. He washed the feet of his disciples. Yeah, he went down. He is, you know, the creator of the universe, but yet he served everybody that he came in contact with. He was a servant to everybody. Okay? Don't judge others for what you see on the outside. You'd be surprised about what's going on in the inside of another person. Okay? Don't walk away from someone that needs help because they don't fit the mold of normalcy that you might think would be the person that you would help. And don't judge people about their sin when you yourself are full of sin, because every single one of us has sinned. The Bible tells us that not a single one of us is worthy. So we are all falling short of the glory of God. But through His redemption, we can all be saved. So that means that you can't look at someone and say, you know, her sin is far worse than my sin, so I'm not even going there. I'm not touching that one, because it's all the same. There is no sin that's greater than the other. The other scripture is Luke chapter 13, 1 through 5. And it says, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I'll tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Are those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish.' There is no sin greater than the other sin." Now, because of the laws that we have, some sins are punished worse than others. So in our minds, we think, you know, murdering someone is far worse than lying or, you know, cheating on my test. Guys, a sin is a sin. It is no different. Regardless, it's all the same color, and that is black and dark. There is no white in it whatsoever, not even a speck of white. So don't judge other people, and don't not help or serve someone and be impartial to someone because their sin is worse than your sin. Everybody has forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that is everybody. And I don't care what their sin is or how bad their sin is or how far it has gotten. Every human being has a chance at redemption, whether they take it or not. They all get that chance. And you may be the only servant that offers that chance to them. You may be the one that plants that seed or gives them the offering of knowing Jesus Christ through redemption. Okay? My third point is silence. Let's read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. There's my Matthew scripture. Let me go back. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That's one that isn't talked about very often anymore, because with the media the way it is, and the news, and so much on television, all we hear about is how Oprah's giving this money to all these, to help all these people, and how, you know, all these people are announcing that we're helping the poor, we're helping these people, we're going to find out the needy people, and we're going to hunt them down, and we're going to help them because we are good. We're good people. Y'all follow our example. Help everybody, and then announce it on the news so that everybody knows. And that's not what God tells us to do. And nothing makes me more angry when I hear somebody say, well, if the church wasn't helping enough, then we wouldn't have all this need out there. I'm telling you, I rebuke that, because the church is helping every single day. They just don't tell you about it. There's a lot of servanthood, giving, and helping that goes on all the time. But it's done the way Jesus Christ taught us to do it, and that is to do it silently. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. Don't do it to gratify yourself. Do it to glorify God. And when people find out about it, glorify God in that and say, you know, I did this because God gave me the ability to do this. This is what God has enabled me to do. And I praise that, because that's what Jesus taught us to do. He taught us to be a servant, to give of ourselves, but to do it silently and do it to glorify our Heavenly Father, who has already given us so much. He has poured out so much to all of us. We're just giving back a part of it to these other people, and we're just sharing it. It's flowing over in me, so I got to share with other people, because it's just going to boil over if I don't. And I don't want it to go to waste. So I need to share with other people, because that's what God gave me. He gave me the ability to do that. Okay? So give silently. So we've got to be selfless. We've got to be selfless and think of other people. Impartial. Don't be impartial in your giving. Don't judge others. Give as a servant and help others. And be silent. Okay? The fourth point that I want to make, which is to me one of the most critical points, and that is salvation. Because if you give to a needy person and you never tell them about Jesus Christ, then have you really helped them? Have you really helped them with what they need? You'll help them temporarily. They'll get a temporary help. But if there's no salvation, then they're just dead inside, and they won't ever know about the true meaning of hope and the true salvation that Christ has given us. And we'll read in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to read a story about someone that Jesus helped. Zacchaeus. Y'all ever heard of Zacchaeus? He's that little bitty man. Little bitty short man. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "Why is he helping that guy?" You can just hear it. You can hear the people going, "That is the scum of the earth. Why is Jesus stopping to help that man? Has he lost his mind? Does he really know who that man is?" All the people that they muttered, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." Huh, not like us. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, almost all of these points were made with that little story of Zacchaeus. Jesus gave of himself to Zacchaeus. He wasn't impartial. He didn't ignore him just because he was the tax collector and had cheated everybody in town. You know, everybody didn't. Nobody liked him. And he wasn't impartial and didn't judge him for who he was, because he knew that Zacchaeus had a right to salvation just like everybody else that was standing there. He had just as much right to that salvation, because that was why he came, was to save us, was to bring salvation to this world. So when you're helping and when you're serving others, now you can help people that already know Jesus Christ, but it's okay to remind them. It's okay to say, you know, to encourage them and to say, let's pray about this. Let's work on this together. You need a hug, and I need to praise God, and I need to worship Him. So let's do this together. Work as a family. We're a family. And guys, the world is spinning as fast as it can in a downward spiral, and it's just going to get worse. And if we start giving of ourselves to each other and really helping people, we can bring joy in areas that there isn't any joy. We can bring peace in areas that there isn't any peace, just through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So let's learn to be a sis, which is a selfless, impartial, silent, salvation servant. Okay? Let's be servants, and let's do it the way Jesus Christ taught us to do it in His Scripture, and that is to use our 4 points of being selfless, giving of yourself, be impartial, don't judge, and be silent in your giving and helping other people. And most importantly, let everybody know about salvation and what Jesus has done. Okay? So one of the things... Oh, go ahead. Are you? Well, one of the things I just wanted to say is... I know, I think tonight Bush is speaking about everything that's going on right now with the deficit and all this stuff, and that I haven't seen the news, but I had heard that McCain has postponed his entire campaign until things kind of die down a little bit. So at the end, I thought maybe we could kind of have a time of just prayer for the country and for what Bush is going through tonight, and everything with the country that we really need to focus on, because there's so much going on and so much need that I just kind of wanted to do that. So, is that okay? Huh? You can, you sure can, but do it to glorify God, not because of me.
Thank you. You know, when she was speaking, there was a new show that I watched last night on Channel 5. It's called The Mentalist. And it is a guy who doesn't claim to be psychic. He just pays attention. And he can pick up on things about people. But he was in a discussion with another detective the night before. I mean, and they somehow... He said to the detective, when we're done here, it's over. That's it. All we have is what's here and now. And then after we die, that's it. And the detective said to him, but I believe in God's kingdom, and I don't believe that's true. And it really struck me when he was saying this last night, when he was saying, oh, when we die, there's nothing. That's it. I was thinking, oh, I can't watch this show anymore. And then the detective, other spoke, but I believe that God is, that God, I believe in God's kingdom is real. And I believe that there is something after this. And I thought, wow, for a primetime TV show, that one little statement was just amazing to me. I was already ready to click it off and go, nope, not watching that anymore. But that just really struck me. And when you were talking about serving, you know, people who think there's nothing after we leave here. That's it.
we go to the ground, we go back to dust, that's it. We can be the way that they can come to know that there is life after death, by serving and by loving. Okay, do we want to pray and then sing? Or do, okay. I tell you what, since we're going to have a prayer for the country and the things that are going on, let's stand up and get up. I like to hold hands when I pray, so let's stand up and get up.
Father, I pray that we just wanted to focus on me, that our television show, there will be no change in the state of the United States. In our schools, there will be no change in the state of the United States. Father, I pray for next year instead of 60 teenagers showing up. Lord, I pray 160 show up. Father, I pray that through this energy crisis and this financial strain, God, I pray that you pour out your blessings on us. Father, you promised us time and time again that if we run short of money, I'm worried. If we run short of food, I'm worried. If we get sick, I'm worried. For you will provide. Father, I understand the strain and the struggle of people today. And Lord, I am guilty as charged this morning about my financial situation and even the time of when I'm going to get my next meal. But as you well know, I'll always find it. And so, Lord, tonight, I just pray that not human wisdom and not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of you and the knowledge of you is spoken through our president, through our Congress, through whoever it needs to be spoken through, Father. And Lord, I pray that this country sits down in foolish pride and looks to you and cries out. In Jesus' name, I pray.
her a quick story real quick.
While we're being seated, I want to share a quick story with you that I heard at my mother-in-law's church this past Sunday when we were visiting her in Alabama. The pastor said that he talked to one of his one of the members of the congregation there, and he said, you know, it is tempting to get down about gas prices and not finding gas at the pumps and how discouraging that can be. And he said, but what I do every time that I pull up to the pump is I pray over that pump and I say, thank you, God, that you've given me enough money to fill up my tank this time. And he thanks him for it, and he's, you know, and I'm not saying don't pray for lower gas prices, because I'd really like that, but I think it's also important to thank God for the provision that he's already given us in these hard times. But, I mean, we're all alive. We all look like we've had a pretty decent meal. I mean, Tommy definitely made sure of that tonight, that we had a good meal. And so, anyway, there's a lot to be thankful for, too. So I just thought I'd share that. So anytime you're filling up with gas and the prices are getting to you, start thanking God that you've got money to fill up that tank today. My heart is thirsty, Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life and wiped away the past. I want to shout it out, for maybe you can't see, but now I know that God is for me, not against me. I could be an ending song of how you saved my soul. Cause we're so happy. Everybody's dancing now. Why? Cause we're so happy. It's only we can see the ghost and see it smiling over us, and have the sweet angels celebrate. The joy is in this place. Amen. Go in peace. See you Sunday. Pretty much.